Today's scripture comes from Luke chapter 20, verses 9 through 19. Allow me to read the words of God. He went on to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard, rented it to some farmers, and went away for a long time. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants, so they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. He sent another servant, but that one also they beat and treated shamefully and sent away empty-handed. He sent still a third, and they wounded him and threw him out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my son, whom I love. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they talked the matter over. "This is the heir," they said. "Let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When the people heard this, they said, "God forbid." Jesus looked directly at them and asked, "Then what is the meaning of that which is written, 'The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone'? Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed." The teachers of the law and the chief priests looked up for a way to arrest him immediately, because they knew he had spoken this parable against them. But they were afraid of the people. Amen. I pray that the grace of the resurrected Lord is abundant upon all of our church members who are attending the Sunday service through the internet at home, at their places in life today. We are sharing 2 Samuel in district Bible study groups. In particular, we are learning about the rebellion that Absalom started to take his father, King David's place. Absalom killed his stepbrother Amnon, who sexually harassed his sister Tamar, and ran away to Geshur, located in the northeast of Galilee and the home of his mother. After 3 years, Joab requested that Absalom return to Jerusalem, but David did not see Absalom for 2 years. After they finally met, they were indifferent to each other. Since then, Absalom carefully planned the conspiracy. As people went to the palace to go to the court of David, Absalom intercepted and said, "The king does not have a representative to hear you," and stole the heart of the people. He went on stealing people's hearts for 4 years. Finally, in Hebron, where Abraham had built an altar, and David had been declared as the first king of Judah, Absalom proclaimed that he was the king of Israel. He said that God supported him as the king, and thereby he was promoting himself as the second David. So David had to leave Jerusalem. On his route to refuge, there were people who supported him, such as Ittai the Gittite, and the prophet Zadok, and Abiathar, and Hushai the Archite. But there were also those who did not. After David left Jerusalem and reached the region of Bahurim, one of King Saul's relative Shimei, cursed David and threw stones at him. At the time, punishment of stones being thrown at was delivered if one had seriously violated the law of God. Otherwise, when the Israelites went to take over the city of Jericho, Achan touched the offering to God with his hand and lost the war because of it. So when one brought havoc upon the Israelite community, or the holiness of God was defamed, one received such punishment. Stephen explained to Jews that God is not only at the temple, but also everywhere, and was killed to death by stones. So from the perspective of Jews, his sermon was considered as defaming the holiness of God. From the perspective of Shimei, David's life was asking for stones to be thrown at him. Shimei actually said in 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 to 9, as he cursed, Shimei said, get out, you murderer, you scoundrel. The Lord has repaid you for all the blood you shed in the household of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. The Lord has given the kingdom into the hands of your son Absalom. You have come to ruin because you are a murderer. Shimei referred to David as the murderer and cursed him. When David became the king of Judah and Hebron, the king for other tribes in Israel was Ishbosheth. King Saul and his sons Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua had been killed while fighting Philistines at the Mount of Gilboa. So the only remaining son, Ishbosheth, had been enthroned as the king by the general Abner. General Abner was killed by General Joab. So Joab was convinced that he had to take revenge for his younger brother's death, and also thought he should be the second man in charge of David's empire, and resulted in killing Abner. Shimei thought David was behind all of this murder. However, that was not true. David was deeply saddened by the murder of King David and his son Jonathan, to the point that he wrote an elegy. Moreover, he also fasted all day long because he was saddened by the death of Abner. Moreover, Shimei also called David a scoundrel, which means a person of no value. Two sons of Prophet Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, who were also prophets, have been called scoundrels since they lived without knowing God and thus despised God. In other Bible, it was also translated as gangsters. Shimei thought David was a person who should not be a king and also did not deserve to be the king. After Joab's younger brother Abishai saw and heard Shimei's thoughtless words and behavior, he became angry and said to David, "Why are you just watching? I will go over there and cut off his head." But David thought differently. "Even a son born from me is after my life. Why wouldn't that Benjamite? Since the Lord has led him to be like so, have him curse me. If the Lord sees my miserable condition, and who knows, the Lord will grant me something better than the curse from Shimei today," said David, and continued on his path. Abishai saw Shimei's behavior only through the perspective of humans, but David saw it through the perspective of God's providence. Thus, David interpreted Shimei's words as what God was telling him to hear. Even if David was passing through the valley of tears, He trusted that it was a part of God's history and believed that God will make it work into his good purpose. The reason why Shimei cursed and behaved improperly to David, the king of Israel, even if he was running away, was because he thought David was a murderer and a scoundrel, as Shimei had described. Shimei wanted David to be gone. But David, who Shimei was certain that he would never return to the palace of Jerusalem, was allowed to return to the palace of Jerusalem by God, and even allowed to be the king of Israel. This was totally unexpected from the perspective of Shimei. He urgently bowed down in front of King David, who was getting on a boat to cross the river on his return to the palace of Jerusalem. In 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 19, and said to him, "May my Lord not hold me guilty. Do not remember how your servant did wrong on the day my lord the king left Jerusalem. May the king put it out of his mind. For I, your servants, know that I have sinned. But today I have come here as the first from the tribes of Joseph to come down and meet my lord the king." Shimei had called David a murderer and a scoundrel on his path of refuge, but now referred to him as my lord and king. He also begged David not to remember what he had said and emphasized that he came down first to meet him. When Abishai saw this, he said, "Shouldn't Shimei be put to death for this?" He cursed the Lord's anointed. But David said that it is not right to kill a person on the day he was made king again. So he told Shimei, "You shall not die." But during the reign of King Solomon, Shimei disobeys the king's decree and dies. If we do not incorrectly view a person made king by God, or wish them to be gone, or regard them as the rejected stone, then we would not face such tragic ending. So we need to be able to see small and big things that happen in our lives through the perspective of God and God's word. Among 150 chapters in the book of Psalms, 116 have titles, while 34 do not. There's no title for Psalm 118, so it is difficult to know who recorded the psalm and also when and to describe what situation. But it is commonly understood that David wrote the psalm. David had spent much time in the wilderness and caves running away from King Saul, to try to kill him. But King Saul killed himself after losing a war against Philistines, and God anointed David as king. Psalm 118 is David's song of praise to God. if you look at verse 22 and 23 from that psalm, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The builder refers to the king, to King Saul, and the rejected stone is David himself. At first, King Saul was humble, but he became arrogant after he was made king. He was sure that he himself was the builder of Israel, and he thought David was in the way and needed to become a rejected stone. In fact, when there was a war between Israel and Philistine, Israel had been overwhelmed by the strength of the giant general Goliath from Philistine and had lost the will to fight. David had been the one to win against Goliath and turned around the situation of the war. Not only that, he also fought in front of many battles and won them. Moreover, when King Saul was under evil spirits and in pain, David played the harp, which lifted up his spirits. David was also the music therapist of King Saul. Moreover, David and King Saul were son and father-in-laws. Despite all of this, King Saul took 3,000 men who had been selected from the entire Israel and tried to chase David every day. How afraid would David have been as a king of a country that went around looking for him with so many soldiers? So people must have thought that it is only a matter of time before David would be caught. But King Saul could not find David because God did not hand David over to the hand of King Saul. King Saul considered himself as the builder and David as the rejected stone. But God, the eternal builder, considered David as the cornerstone of the house. So through Prophet Nathan, God told David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16, "Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." Such history of God may seem strange to the eyes of people. How could what the Creator God does be the same as what people do? God's thoughts are always higher than ours, and his actions in history cannot be compared to our path and our actions. Today's scripture describes the cornerstone as well. For Passover, Jesus rode on a small donkey and went up to Jerusalem. This was the last Passover of his public ministry. In chapter 2 of the Gospel of John, Jesus began his public ministry. He went up to the temple on Passover and purified it. After 3 years, on the last Passover of his public ministry, he once again went up to the temple and purified it. Nothing had changed during the 3 years. What Jesus was not welcome. While Jesus was not welcomed at all by the chief priests, teachers of the law, and the leaders of the people, people heeded to what Jesus said. So consequently, they couldn't find a way to stop him. Jesus told the parable of the farmers of the vineyard. In fact, about the owner and the son of the vineyard, to the religious leaders, including chief priests, who were also socio-political leaders. One person created a vineyard and leased it to 10 farmers and left to another country. After time passed, it was the season of harvesting grapes. So the master sent a servant to receive a portion of the harvest as the rental cost from the farmers. But these farmers not only refused to pay, but also hit the servant. The master sent another servant, but he was beaten up again and returned empty-handed and harassed. The third servant was harassed to the point of suffering from trauma and was thrown outside the vineyard. The Gospel of Matthew and Mark testify that the third servant was killed outside the vineyard. Those who heard this parable would have easily figured out that the vineyard signifies Israel and the servant signifies the prophet. Israelites had been worshiping God and idols and lived according to the worldly values and their desires of what can be seen instead of the word of God. Many prophets proclaimed with all their might to return to God and turn back from their worldly values to live a life of worshiping God. But Israelites of the Old Testament period did not pay attention to this at all. So the result they faced was living as slaves in Babylon. There, they realized how absurd it was to serve their idols and what a blessing it was to live a life of worshiping God. In the parables he just told, if farmers of the vineyard mistreated even the third servant in such manner, then people thought the master's response would be to punish those farmers. But the master responded by sending the son he loved because he thought that they would treat the son as if treating the master. However, vineyard farmers ended up killing the son as well because they thought if the master did not have any child to inherit the vineyard, then they would become owners of the vineyard forever. The teachers of the law and the chief priests knew that this parable of Jesus was about what they had done. So they wanted to arrest Jesus immediately, but they were afraid of the people. After Jesus told the parable, he said, Jesus looked directly at them and asked, "Then what is the meaning of that which is written? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed." Here, the builders refer to the chief priests, religious leaders, and Jews that agreed. And the rejected stone refers to Jesus. Nowadays, construction material has been standardized, so houses can be built according to the size and shape you want, as long as they're within the standards. But that was not the case at the time of Jesus. So when a house is built, the builder can use different shape and size and number of stones. While one builder could require a stone here, another builder can ask for a stone over there. A third builder may require both stones, while a fourth builder may say that neither stone is useful. So a stone's only purpose may be to be thrown away. Jesus seemed so to some people. Jesus did not seem handsome, nor was physically fit, so there was nothing to admire him about. So no one thought Jesus would be the Messiah and thought that his death on the cross was the end of everything. But God took Jesus, who was rejected by religious leaders, as the cornerstone of the kingdom of God, and built a church with Jesus as the foundation of this earth. So Jesus also confessed the same words of David. Then, what is the meaning of that which is written? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Apostle Paul said in Acts verse 4:11 and 12, Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. This is what Apostle Peter proclaimed with John in front of Sanhedrin. Thus, the people who heard this message were high priests, teachers of the law, and elders. They regarded themselves as the people of authority at the temple, the people of authority at the kingdom of God, and that of salvation. People also regarded them as so. But Apostle Peter proclaimed how God said that other than the stone they had rejected, Jesus, there is no other cornerstone. Didn't Jesus Christ state, "I am the way, the truth, and the life"? So without the eternal path of the Lord, eternal truth of the Lord, and eternal life of the Lord, nothing else in the world can be the eternal and true cornerstone. Today is the Easter Sunday of our resurrected Lord. So we are reaffirming that Jesus Christ, the Lord we believe in, is the eternal cornerstone. If we're building a house and we do not have a cornerstone, then we cannot build a house. The more sturdy the cornerstone is, the more solid the building. If the cornerstone is eternal, then we can build an eternal house. If the cornerstone is weak, then we will build a flimsy building. Regardless of how smart someone is, how much wealth one has, or how high ranked someone is, One's life can break apart if one takes himself as the cornerstone. It is because people are finite, and what people own have an expiration date. After Jesus passed away on the cross and resurrected, disciples were afraid and had locked their doors. Jesus had repeatedly told the disciples that he would go up to Jerusalem and suffer and die due to the elders, high priests, and teachers of the law, but rise again on the third day. However, at that time, the disciples did not pay attention to that. They had been paying attention to one another to see who would sit at the right and left side of Jesus and who would become king in Jerusalem. They had considered themselves as the cornerstone of their own lives. Even though the disciples had been so clueless, the resurrected Lord visited where they had been hiding in fear and gave them their mission again. But for some reason, Thomas had not been there. So when disciples said, "We have seen the Lord," he did not believe them. He said, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Until then, Thomas has still thought that he is the cornerstone of his own life. After 8 days had passed, Jesus reappeared in front of the house that had been locked, where Thomas was staying. He said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Jesus had heard everything that Thomas and other disciples had shared. Then Thomas said in John chapter 20, verse 28, Thomas said to him, My Lord and my God." This confession is written as a statement in the Korean Bible, but in the Greek Bible, it is written as a proclamation. To properly translate it, it says, "Ah, my Lord, ah, my God." This is the confession of faith. "Lord, I have considered myself as the cornerstone of my life, but from now on, I will only consider the Lord as the cornerstone of my life." Dear beloved church members, Jesus, who conquered death and resurrected, went back to the disciples who had considered themselves as the cornerstone and encouraged them and gave them life missions. He even visited Thomas again and let him know that he had resurrected, and the resurrected Lord is with us today. If you truly believe, then let's regard Jesus as the cornerstone of our lives instead of ourselves. And let us change our values from the secular value of considering ourselves as the cornerstone and look towards God. Let's live a life of worship in truth and life every day. If we do not regard Jesus Christ as the cornerstone of our lives, our families, our workplaces, and wherever we live, then we are treating Jesus as the rejected stone. Daily news demonstrates what happens to people who regard themselves as the cornerstone. More than 2,000 years ago from today, the Lord came to conquer death and resurrected to become the eternal cornerstone of our life. Thus, it is the blessed resurrection. Let us pray. We confess that we have regarded our finite selves as the cornerstone of our lives and paid attention to what can be seen, following secular values as our cornerstone, and rejected the eternal cornerstone, our Lord. Consequently, there were times when it felt like we were building something in our lives, families, and workplaces, but realized that it had all been ruined. Then our hearts were also broken after that. Still, we regarded ourselves as the cornerstone again and repeatedly experienced brokenness of our lives and hearts. We thank the Lord who visited disciples twice and even encouraged them and gave them life missions for also taking note of us again and again. May we no longer regard the Lord as the rejected stone and take the resurrected Lord and the Word of God as eternal cornerstone so that we are all built properly. Through us who are built up, may we witness that our families, workplaces, and societies are built again. Father God, thank you for the Easter Sunday. Even though COVID-19 seems to have brought us down, and the path that some have to live has become tougher than before, may we experience the grace of early rains and late rains of the Lord as we walk on that path, and also the strength that comes only from the Lord. We also pray that our daily lives are a worship of truth and life as we take Jesus as the cornerstone, and that we live life of resurrection and resurrected life. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.